Good morning. Please take your Bibles and go to John chapter 4. We're going to look at the subject, Man Shall Not Live by Bread Alone. Food and water. You guys have that recently? Food, water, food and beverage. Food and water are essential to sustain life. Many doctors and nutritionists suggest that a person can go at the very most 4 to 6 weeks without food. And that's, you know, if you went on a long fast, 4 to 6 weeks. A person medically could not last more than a week without water, except by some divine intervention. So food and water are pretty important to live life. And yet, there is something that is far more important than physical food that is necessary for life. And that is the Word of God and Jesus Christ, the Word in the flesh, the bread of life. John chapter 4 is a great record where Jesus is traveling through northern Israel, and he's outside the city of, he's coming down near the city of Samaria. And while he's in the country, he sends his disciples back into the city to get food. Right? He sends them in to get some food. And while he's there, he meets this woman at the well, and he asks her to drink, and he says, if you drink of the water I give, I'll give you everlasting water. And she's like, who are you? And after a while, she realizes, you're the Messiah. You're the Christ. And so she runs back into Samaria to get all the people and tell them, he's here. The Messiah's here. Come on out. And then meanwhile, all this is happening, his disciples come back to him. While all the people are starting to come around, his disciples come up to him. And in verse 31, meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. We went and got you some food. Now, come on, eat. Eat. Manja, right? Eat. You got to eat. You want to be strong, be healthy person. You got to eat. And he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples were saying to one another, who brought him anything to eat? Did he? Did anybody bring him? Okay, who stashed a quarter pounder with cheese and stuck it up here with him? Who gave him a little snack on the way? Who could you give him something to eat? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say that there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. There was a whole bunch of people coming out here that he was about ready to be able to teach the gospel message to them. He's like, I got meat you guys don't know about. There's something a lot more important than this meal that's going on here. There's the message of the kingdom that I'm going to deliver to these people. And that doing the will of God, the word of God, Jesus Christ, and him as the bread of life, is the most important thing in life. It is more important than your physical food. I don't think most people believe this. But look what Job, turn to Job. Just before Psalms, you have the book of Job. And this is one of the great quotes of the man Job that I love. Job 23, and in verse 12 of Job, he said, I have not departed from the command of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Do you? Do you treasure the knowledge of God's word, the knowledge of the kingdom, the truth about Jesus Christ more than your necessary food? Job did. It was more important to him. Jesus clearly said, yeah, that meal's nice, guys, but there's something more. There's a greater food. There's a greater sustenance to my life than the physical food before me. Look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. And there's another one of these great verses. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. He said, "Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became for me a joy and delight of my heart. For I have been called by your name, O Yahweh, God of hosts." Your words were found, and I ate them. You know, it doesn't mean that he nibbled on the Bible. It's a great figure of speech. That Jeremiah said, "Your words were found, I ate them, I digested them, I assimilated them. And they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart." This Word of God he craved. He longed for. And it's interesting, physical food. Everybody needs it. I haven't found a person alive that doesn't need food. And God said this in the beginning. He gave trees that were good for food. I mean, he did it. And the food was, you know, I think Ecclesiastes says it's good for man to enjoy the work of his labor, you know, enjoy the food, enjoy life. And food should have enjoyment to it. But boy, people have a propensity to crave food. I don't know if you've ever observed food lines. Through the years, as I've watched, I've been in a lot of food lines in my life. You know, at work picnics, corporate picnics, where they have the buffet lines. Meals of schools are like when I'm in Scouts or Girl Scouts or other, you know, buffet things. Church potlucks, right? You got the church potlucks. Family gatherings, family reunions, where you got the big family, everybody, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 people, and you got all together, you got the big food. You ever watch an all-you-can-eat buffet line? That's fun to watch. In many instances, it seems that people are going to that food like it's the last meal they're going to ever have. And if they don't get that food and they don't get it now, they're not going to make it. Because they long for that food with conviction and passion. And you know, that seems to be pretty normal behavior among humanity. Yet how many people crave the Word of God with the same passion, with the same desire, with the same understanding that if I don't eat it, I will die? That if I don't have this Word of God to sustain me, I will not make it in life. How many people approach the Word of God with that passion, that conviction, that belief? What Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Do you hungry? Are you hungry for the things of God? Do you thirst for God's Word to quench it? Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4. Matthew chapter 4 and in verse 1. "And Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights." Medically, that's on that very long end of the 40 days and 40 nights. You're into the sixth week of starvation. "And he became hungry." I bet he did. Jesus Christ was a man, like you and like me, with like passions, it says. He was hungry. He was starving, I mean, after 40 days. "And the tempter came to him. He said, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." You get these out in the desert, right? He's on a mountain, there's these rocks there. He says, "If you're the Son of God, make those stones become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." When I read this, where the devil tempted him, I'm going back into the 1980s here. I don't know if any of you remember this time In the 80s, there was a major famine in, I think it was Ethiopia. And a lot of humanitarian effort was done to help feed the people, which was really a wonderful international movement to feed the people. Here in the United States, many of the singers, songwriters, I know like Quincy Jones, Stevie Wonder, I don't know if Michael Jackson was involved with it, Willie Nelson, they all got together and they did this song, which actually won the Grammy that year for best song. And I don't know if you've, We Are the World. Do you remember that? We are the world. We are the children. Right? And it was really a move to help feed the people of the world. And all these, I mean, there were like 30 artists, very famous artists that did this song and real moving, and it helped in this humanitarian effort. I'll never forget, though, I remember listening to that song, and still to this day it drives me crazy, and that's why I'm bringing it up. There's a line, Willie Nelson, and everyone had a little solo in the song, too. And I'll never forget Willie Nelson's line in the song. As God has shown us by turning stones to bread, let's get living. And that always bothered me because you know what? God never turned stones to bread. The devil tempted Jesus and said, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. God didn't turn the stones to bread. Jesus didn't turn the stones to bread. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm very highly in favor of feeding people. But there's a lot of agnostics and atheists and a lot of humanitarians that are into feeding people too, because everybody knows if you don't eat, you don't live. So humanitarians are big on feeding people. But Jesus was concerned with a much higher realm of living, a much more important aspect of life to which he presented everyone. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. He clearly was in favor of people eating. In fact, if I remember right, there was a time when there was a multitude and with five loaves and a few fish, right? Or two loaves and five fish, the Lord made a big, big dish, fed 5,000 people. He had no problem feeding people. But you know what he was doing for most of the day before they ate the meal? He was teaching them about the kingdom of God. Read the book of Luke. He was teaching them about the kingdom of God and the truths about eternal life. So I say, let's feed people, let's clothe people, let's bring them in and let's give them and love them with the love of Christ. But then let's never forget to teach them the word and to teach them that which is necessary for eternal life. Because most people are dying and they don't even know it. They don't know about the true bread of life. This is necessary for eternal life. And Jesus Christ understood that. And he had the right perspective. This verse is really a quotation from the book of Deuteronomy. And I'd like you to go back to the Old Testament. Turn to Exodus chapter 16. To really gain an appreciation for Jesus' response, that it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This wasn't just something he picked up, so that's a nice verse that fits here. He understood where this verse came from. He understood the meaning behind it. And this really is relating to the manna that was fed to the children of Israel in the wilderness. And this is one of the... I just love this record in the Word of God. And I thought we could take the time the rest of this morning to look at this great record about what happened. We're in Exodus chapter 16. Now, if you go up to this time, you know this is the children of Israel just came out of Egypt, right? Charlton Heston let them out, remember? No, Moses let them out. Let's see if you're awake. Moses let them out, remember? Moses let them out of the wilderness. They came out, right? There were the 10 plagues. They crossed the Red Sea, right? They come out here in the desert. And this is just a little while after that, chapter 16. And they set out from Elim. And the congregation of the sons of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after the departure from the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The sons of Israel said to them, would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat. I mean, there was a McDonald's on every corner. When we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill the whole congregation, the whole assembly with hunger. You brought us out here to kill us. We don't have any food. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather portions every day, that I may test them, whether or not they will walk in my instruction. On the sixth day, when they prepare, they shall bring it in. It shall be twice as much as they gather daily. So Moses and Aaron said to all the sons of Israel, at evening you will know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your grumblings against the Lord. And what are we that you are grumbling against us? Moses said, why are you grumbling against us? We don't have anything to do with this. We're just following the Lord. And Moses said, this will happen. When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and bread to the full in the morning, for the Lord hears your grumbling, which you grumble against him. And what are we? Your grumblings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, say to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling. And it came about as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the sons of Israel, that they looked up toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the grumblings of the sons of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you will know that I am the Lord your God. So it came about at evening that the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. And when the layer of dew evaporated, behold, on the surface of the wilderness, there was a fine flake-like thing, fine as the frost on the ground. And when people saw it, they said one to another, what is it? Have you ever seen every once in a while in your life where something happens in the atmosphere or something happens that's a little different outside? And you walk outside, you look on the ground, you're like, what is that? Or you're in the water and something falls on the water and you're like, what is that? I've never seen that. What is that? That's some phenomenon I've never seen before. What's that? Well, that's what they did. They walk up this morning and there's something they've never seen before on the ground. And they said, what in the world is that? What is it? What is it? You know what the words what is it are in the Hebrew? Manna. What is it? Manna. Sounds like an Indian name. I mean, what is it? It's manna. You know, this looks like, I don't know what it is. That's manna. Eat up. It's great. Good stuff. For they didn't know what it was. And Moses said to them, it is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, every man, as much as he should eat. You shall eat an omer, shall take an omer apiece according to the number of persons each of you has in his tent. The sons of Israel did so, and some gathered much and some little. And when they gathered it with an omer, he who had gathered much had no excess, and he who had gathered little had no lack. Every man gathered as much as he should eat. Moses said to them, let no man leave any of it until the morning. So here's what they said. Go out for your family and gather what you need for your family. You don't need any more. You don't need to worry about tomorrow. Today. You get what you need for today. You got a big family, take what you need for your big family. You got a small family, take what you need for your small family. There's enough for everybody. So everybody was to gather exactly what they needed for the day. And then he said, now, I don't want you storing any. Don't store some up in your cabinet, or I guess in their tents, you know, their little, you know, don't stuff it in your tent for tomorrow. Tomorrow will be okay. Don't store any extra. Just what you need for day, eat it. And the rest of the stuff just leave on the ground and God will take care of that stuff that's sitting on the ground. Verse 20. But they didn't listen to Moses. And some of them left it until morning. You know why they left it until morning? Because they didn't know if it was going to be there the next day. So they stored up a little extra for the next day. Right? got the day. No, I better, you know, I'm in the buffet line. I better get a little extra here, right? Because I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So, you know, they grabbed what they could, stored a little extra in the back of the tent. And they stored it, and it bred worms and became foul. And Moses was angry with them. Have you ever had real bad spoiled food? You ever open the refrigerator and you, with the worms? Well, that's what happened to the manna. If they tried to store some for an extra day down the road. If they you know, wanted to store a little extra for themselves down the road. It bred worms and it stank. Ugh. Verse 21, they gathered it morning by morning, every man as much as it should eat. But when the sun grew hot, it would melt. So all that they didn't pick up in the ground, when the sun came out, it melted. Just boop, evaporated. This was some cool stuff. Now, look at this. Now, on the sixth day, so first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, they were to go out and they were to gather exactly what they needed for that day. No more, no less. Just get what you need for today. On the sixth day, they had gathered twice as much bread, two omers of each one, when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, this is what the Lord meant. Tomorrow is a Sabbath observance, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left put aside to be kept until morning. So they put it aside until morning, as Moses had ordered, and it did not become foul, nor was there any worm in it. Moses said, eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. This is some bread. All right? If you gather it on day one, day two, day three, day four, or day five, you gather exactly what you need. Don't store any extra. You gather exactly what you need. And if you happen to store extra on the next days, the next morning, it's going to have worms. It's going to stink. It's going to be, ugh. But on the sixth day, you gather 2 days' worth. And on the sixth day, if you store it, the next day, it's going to be perfectly fine. You know what? This is Wonder Bread. Right? This bread is totally dependent upon the Word of God. It came because God told it to come. It evaporated because God had it evaporate. It bred worms when he wanted to breed worms. And if he wanted to be able to be stored, it was able to be stored. It was totally dependent upon exactly what God said. And you just had to trust him. Every day, they had to trust him. They go to bed at night knowing that they can come out tomorrow morning and there's going to be food for them on the ground. That is really amazing. It was an amazing time. Then it says in verse 27, it came about on the seventh day. The seventh day, right? Is there going to be any there out the seventh day? Is there going to be anything out there on the field? No. Nothing there. But it came out on the seventh day. Some of the people went out to gather, but they didn't find anything. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my instructions? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you the bread for 2 days on the sixth day. Remain every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. Verse 31. And the house of Israel named it manna. What is it? Why? Because they didn't know what it was. And it was like coriander seed, white, and its taste was like the wafers with honey. Then Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer full be kept throughout your generations, that they may see the bread that I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. Moses said to Aaron, take a jar and put an omer of manna in it and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept. So you know what they did? They took one, it's called the golden pot of manna. And they put manna in it, all right? And they put this manna then in the testimony. You know what that means? The Ark of the Covenant that was inside the tabernacle. And they put that manna in there, not for one day, Years. It didn't breed worms. It didn't stink. This little set of manna was placed in the tabernacle, in the Ark of the Covenant, behind the veil. Why? What's this all about? What's the real teaching of the manna? And it says in verse 35, the sons of Israel ate manna 40 years. 40 years they did this. How many of you guys have ever eaten the same food for a year? How many of you have eaten the same food for a month? You know what I mean? 40 years. They ate this every day. And every day, God supplied it. Every day it was there. Wow. This is some type of thing that God did here. Look at Numbers chapter 11. Numbers 11. Now this happens here in Numbers is sometime it's after about a year. I don't know how long into the 40 years, but it's a year's gone by now at least, maybe a little longer. The people became, verse 11. The people became like those. You don't want to be one of these people. The people became like those who complain of adversity in the hearing of the Lord. We don't want to be that. A person who complains of adversity in the hearing of the Lord. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of camp. The people there cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord till the fire died out. So the name, that place was called Taberah because of the fire of the Lord burned among them. Verse 4, the rabble who were among them had what? Greedy desires. They had greedy desires. And also the sons of Israel wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? We want meat. We remember the fish. Oh. You know, I don't think I'd ever say that about fish, but that's me. But we remember the fish. When we were used to eat free in Egypt. Free in Egypt? Hello? But we remember the fish we used to eat. It was free in Egypt. The cucumbers. Oh, those cucumbers. And the melons. And the leeks. And the onion and the garlic. Oh. Oh, we remember that. But now, our appetite is gone. And there is nothing at all to look at except this manna. I love this because it's so real. It's so human. You know, they're just like, we're tired of this food. I want a steak. Now the manna was like a coriander seed in its appearance like that of bedlam. The people would go out and gather it, and this is cool, it tells you a little about what they did with it. They grind it between millstones, they beat it into mortar, they boiled it in a pot and made cakes with it, and the taste was like the taste of cakes baked with oil. So they were able to grind it, bake it, boil it. When the dew fell on the camp at night, the manna would fall with it. Verse 10. Now, Moses heard the people weeping through their families, each man at the doorway of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly, and Moses was displeased. Now, if you ever want to incite a group of people to get mad at you, mess with their food. You ever heard people, you know, like in a big thing, especially like if you're in a big place where you got a lot of people and the food is bad? You want to hear some upset and angry people? Mess with their food. And Moses is not happy about the situation here. They're all complaining and they're all looking at him. And Moses said to the Lord, verse 11, why have you been so hard on your servant? God, why are you doing this to me? And why have I not found favor in your sight that you have laid the burden of all this people on me? Look at him. Look, was it I who conceived this people? Was it I who brought them forth? You should say to them, carry me in your bosom. A nurse carries a nursing infant to the land which I swore to your fathers. Am I their parent? Did I bear them? Did I say I wanted them? And now they're all yelling at me about food. I love Moses. I love his relationship with God. God, why are you doing this to me? What did I do? Verse 11, where am I going to get meat to feed all these people? We don't have a Sam's Club nearby. For they weep before me, saying, give us meat that we may eat. I'm alone and not able to carry this burden because it's too burdensome with me. Verse 15, I love this. So if you're going to deal thus with me, please kill me once. If I have found favor in your sight and not let me see my wretchedness. God, do me a favor. Kill me. These people are, they're angry. Because they don't like their manna. And then in verse 18. Say to the people, consecrate yourselves tomorrow and you shall eat meat. He tells the people, for you have wept in the ears of Yahweh, saying, oh, that someone would give us meat to eat, for we were well off in Egypt. God's like a little dig in there. You're saying you were well off in Egypt. Oh, it was great there in Egypt. You want some meat to eat. Okay. Why did we ever leave Egypt? God says to him, okay. You want eat. Verse 19, you shall eat, not one day. You want meat? You're going to have meat. You want a quarter pound of cheese? Okay. You have it for breakfast? Not one day, not 2 days, not 5 days, not 10 days, nor 20 days, but a whole month you're eating meat. Until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you because you have rejected the Lord who is among you and have wept before him saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? All right, you guys, you get it, you want the quarter pound, you get it for breakfast, lunch, dinner, every day for the month. That's your food. Verse 21. And Moses said, Lord, the people who I am with are 600,000 on foot. It says in another place, 600,000 men besides women and children. Estimates are like 1.5 to 2 million people. Lord, 600,000 on foot. And you have said, I will give them meat so that they may eat for a whole month. Lord, should the flocks and herds be slaughtered for them to be sufficient for them? Should all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to be sufficient for them? God, where am I going to feed these people? I don't have that capability. I don't have a food services department. I don't have, you know, a catering service to bring in meat to feed these guys for a month. How am I going to do that? Look at Lord's answer, verse 23. And the Lord Yahweh said to Moses, Moses, is Yahweh's power limited? Remember who I am. Now you shall see whether my word shall come true for you or not. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he also gathered the 70 elders of the people and stationed them round the tent. And the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him. He took the spirit that was upon him, placed it upon the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested on them, they prophesied. And then in verse 31, Now there went forth a wind from the Lord, and it brought quail from the sea, and let them fall beside the camp, about a day's journey on this side and a day's journey on the other side, all around the camp and about 2 cubits deep on the surface of the ground. And the people spent all day and all night and all the next day and gathered the quail. Who gathered the least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them out for themselves all around the camp. Verse 33, while the meat was still between their teeth, before it was chewed, the anger of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord struck the people with a very severe plague. So the name of that place was Kibroth Hatava, because they were buried people who had been greedy. So a lot of people died of a plague because they grumbled against the manna. Turn to Joshua chapter 5. Forty years, every day, God supplied their meal. Every day, they didn't have to pay for it. They didn't have to go out and labor trying to till a garden. They didn't have to, you know, get a job to have it supplied. Every day, they'd walk outside into the field and gather their food every day. And God supplied every day. For 40 years. And remember when they came into the promised land, God said, I'm going to have everything ready for you. And they came into the promised land, the Canaanites, they cut out of land, and the stuff that was growing there, they just got to eat when they came in. And in Joshua is that record when they come into the promised land. In Joshua 5, verse 10, it says, and the sons of Israel camped at Gilgal, and they observed the Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the month on the desert plains of Jericho. Verse 11, on the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. Verse 12, the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten some of the produce of the land, so the sons of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate some of the yield of the land of Canaan during that year. 40 years it was there, they come into the promised land and the manna ceased. And to my knowledge, the manna has never been back since. One time in the history of mankind, this unique situation happened where these people in the wilderness daily were fed manna that rained from heaven. Every day. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. It begs the question, why? God clearly said to Moses, is my power limited? Couldn't God have done a myriad of different ways to feed the people in the wilderness, right? He brought quails. He could have brought meat one day for them, right? Couldn't he have had them like sometimes they camp for a year. Couldn't they have like grown a garden? Aren't there different things that God could have? I mean, he's God, right? Why? Why did he do this in this manner, in this way? What was the point? What is the purpose of this? Deuteronomy chapter 8 says, all the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Verse 3, and he humbled you, and he let you be hungry, and he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What a teacher. What a pragmatic instruction of understanding. that every day they would understand, if they lived their life according to the Word of God, He would supply all their need. If they would live their life by the commandment of Yahweh, their needs would be supplied. Their food would be supplied. For 40 years. And you read the book of Joshua, it's probably one of the most successful books of the Old Testament. When they went in with Joshua. Because they were taught. Look at John chapter 6. I just want to show you this record. Jesus Christ, remember I told you He fed the 5,000? That's the first part of John chapter 6. That's what it's about. He teaches them the kingdom of God. They come before Him. They hear the truth. And then with He feeds 5,000 people. The disciples say, where are we going to get food to feed them? And He said, this is what we got. Jesus said, that's enough. He prays over it, the baskets. And they bring up like 12 baskets extra, I think. All that food. Then He goes away. And then the people follow Him. They come, they're following Him now. They want to make Him a king. Yeah, we want this guy to be our government leader. Look at this. He feeds us. This is my type of king. We want to make Him a king. And then in verse 26, Jesus says to them, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek Me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. You got to decide why you're doing what you do for God. Is it because your need gets supplied, or is it because it's the truth? You got to make a decision in your life. What's truth? And what are you going to follow? He said, you follow Me because you ate, not because you really believe. Verse 27, do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on Him the Father has set this seal. Therefore they said to Him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in whom He has sent. Believe on Me. Believe in the Messiah. Believe in the message. Verse 30. So they said to Him, what then do you do for a sign that we may see and believe? What work do you perform? He just fed them with 2 fish and 5 loaves. What are you going to do for us, Jesus? You just saw a miracle with the Messiah standing right in front of their face. What are you going to do for us, Jesus? Then look what He says in verse 31. Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, He gave them bread out of heaven to eat. They're talking to the wrong man here. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to Me will not thirst, and he who believes in Me will never thirst again. What's the most important thing in your life? What is it that you need to sustain life? Is it the meat that perishes? Or is it the Word of God? Are you willing to come with the same attitude, the same heart, the same understanding that this is necessary for life? As you do for your physical food. If we can come to that point, if we could come to the point in our lives that we would say, my meat is to do the will of Him who sent us, from the One who called us, it'll be a new day for us to have that kind of heart and that conviction for the things of God and for our Messiah, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, and I praise you this day. Lord, you are so, so awesome. Lord, I do thank you for all the physical needs that you give to us. Lord, I do thank you for the food, the clothing that you provide. But Lord, more importantly, I thank you for the eternal life that you've promised through Jesus Christ. I thank you for the promises that you've placed in your scripture. And God, that we don't have to be afraid, that we don't have to be worried about anything. But that if we commit our lives to your word, if we commit ourselves to the truth of the gospel message, to the word of God, and we're willing to give our lives for that, and to have the same hunger and thirst for righteousness that we do for our physical food. Lord, I ask you that you strengthen us mightily, and you give us wisdom and understanding. Help build our faith to live for that true meat, the true bread of life, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.